Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 26, Revelation and Rewards. Just because I have this crown and these wings, it doesn't mean I'll be a good leader. Despair. It is an emotion that has pervaded the very essence of the Equestrian Wasteland. Despair destroys, it takes and feeds and leaves nothing behind in its wake. Every living thing feels despair at one point or another in their lives. It is that single moment when you feel as though nothing else can ever be right with the world. That night, sitting there alone with Patch, I felt despair. I was flattened by the realization at how much my journey was affecting my friends and how destructive the whole thing had been. I wonder if Twilight ever felt this way. Did she ever feel like the entire world was against her and that life itself was simply not worth living? Based on what I had seen, I'd like to think so. The great Ministry Mare, who was once a princess, had seen much in her time, from the rise of war and the death of her own brother, to the end of the world and evil through the eye of the goddess. It seemed that despair had ruled her life all the way to the bitter end. But her time did not end there. What was she? Was it really Twilight that I was speaking to every time I visited that infernal library? Or is it something else, nagging and pulling on my mind to control whatever mysterious power I've been saddled with? Sometimes I wish I knew all the answers to these questions, but I don't. All I know is what lies ahead. All I have to do is have the strength to step out of despair to get there. My eyes fluttered open to a gleam of sunshine and I heard a soft snore coming from next to me. I glanced over, seeing Patch curled up in a ball underneath my outstretched wing. She was sleeping soundly. I smiled sadly, remembering the events of the night before. The revelation of her pregnancy and the consequences of the radiation weighed heavily in the back of my mind. It took all of my effort for it to not bring me to tears. I knew that there was nothing I could do now to change the past, but I would do everything I could to make the future better. I owed it to her foal. I owed it to every pony who had been there for me, who had helped me along the way. But most of all, I owed it to her. I stretched out, yawning lightly as I removed my wing from the sleeping mare, taking care to not brush her with it as it lifted away. Patch rolled over in her sleep and went back to snoring. I sat there for several long moments, just taking in the morning air. The soft clop of hoofs from the stairs told me my silence was to be soon interrupted. I stood, turning back towards the entrance as Violet appeared. I lifted a hoof, indicating to be silent as I pointed down at Patch. I silently made my way to the stairs next to my green mare friend.
"Everything all right?"
Violet whispered. I hesitated. It wasn't my place to tell her at all about Patch's pregnancy, and I wasn't going to break her trust.
Yeah, everything's fine, I said quietly. Patch just needed some pony to talk to about some things, and we just kind of ended up falling asleep.
Violet narrowed her gaze at me.
Are you sure?
She said. I grimaced under her cold gaze.
It's not my place to say, Violet, I said. Please trust me. Patch will talk to us when she's ready to. But I can't betray her trust. Please tell me you understand.
Violet's eyes softened up.
Oh, sweetie, no, I do. I understand, she said. I'm worried about her and you. When I woke up and you weren't there, I almost thought for a moment.
My eyes widened as I realized what she meant.
Violet, you know that I love you, right?
I said quickly.
It totally wasn't like that. Patch just... she needed some help.
Violet nodded.
I know, she replied. And I love you too. I don't know why I thought it. I should know better by now.
I smiled, nuzzling her cheek and giving it a little peck.
It's quite all right, I said. Let's give Patch some time to sleep in. She's had a bit of a rough night and I... Hey, why are you blushing?
My mare friend's face had erupted in a shade of deep red. She burst into laughter as we reached the bottom of the stairs.
Sorry, you said a rough night and I couldn't help but laugh,
she said in between gasps. I rolled my eyes.
Foliage,
I said, sticking my tongue out at her. Violet grinned.
Tease,
she replied. I grinned widely.
You know it,
I said, pushing open the door. The others were up and about, getting their things together. Steeljack looked up as I entered the room. His eyes were pleading. I trotted over to him and rested the hoof on his shoulder.
She's still upstairs, sleeping.
Is she... all right?
He said softly. I nodded.
As okay as she can be at the moment, I said. But please, be patient with her. She needs a friend right now, not a protector.
Steeljack pondered this for a few moments and then nodded solemnly. The pushing open of a door sounded from behind us and I glanced back to see Patch stumble in. She yawned widely as she took note of every pony and hellhound watching her.
Good morning, she said quietly. I have something I need to tell all of you. I wasn't going to, but I think I should because I love all of you dearly and you're all of my best friends.
Steeljack stepped forward to stand next to her. The green mare caught his eye and sighed.
Especially you, Steeljack. You most of all deserve to hear this.
Whatever it is, Steeljack said. No matter what, you know I'm here for you.
Patch smiled softly.
I know,
she said.
I know I've been a bit antisocial lately, and I wanted to apologize. None of you deserved how I treated you. I wish I could take it back. I'm pregnant.
There was a soft gasp from Lilith and Violet. Nixie merely nodded. Steeljack fell to his haunches with a thump.
But there's something wrong.
She turned to Steeljack.
I can't feel it, Steeljack. I can't feel our foal. I don't know what's wrong, but ever since the temple I don't know if it's there or if it's gone. Please, please don't hate me.
The silence was deafening. Steeljack sat there for several moments, staring at the mare he loved. Finally, a soft smile came over his face.
Patch, Steeljack said. I could never hate you. I love you so very, very much. No matter what, I'm not sure what to really say. Are you all right?
Patch smiled and nodded.
I'm better. Star and I talked about some things last night, and when we get to Ten Pony, we're going to see if the doctors there can tell me what's wrong.
She said.
I can't feel it, but I had a weird dream last night. It's like I know it's still there, but something isn't right with it.
Then we'll find out together, and even if things turn out for the worst, I'll still be right there by your side.
Steeljack said.
I'm not leaving your side ever. Nothing in this world could take me from you.
Patch lunged forward, wrapping her forelegs around Steeljack's neck. The gray stallion smiled deeply as he returned the mare's embrace. The two separated and Patch started crying again a little as Lilith stepped forward. She placed her hoof onto her shoulder and hugged her close. No words were needed to express the feelings between the two. I smiled as I reflected on the fact that the two were once bitter enemies, but now they were close friends. Perhaps the magic of friendship really did have some power here after all. I moved to the three and turned to Patch.
I'm proud of you, my friend, I said. It takes a brave mare to admit to the horrible things in life and that you need help getting through them. I will stand by you as well as long as you see fit to call me friend. And if you ever need a shoulder to cry on, I'm here for you.
Me too, Violet said. We're like a family after all, and family sticks together no matter what.
Nixie slumbered behind my mare friend, a somber look on his face.
Despite having not known you as long, I too shall endeavor to do my best to be your friend, Patch,
he said.
Loyalty is a virtue that is respected among my kind, canine in nature as we are.
Patch had pretty much completely broken down now, but her tears weren't those of sadness. They were tears of joy. Tears that represented the sheer happiness that could only come by the presence of friendship.
Thank you all,
she choked out.
I don't know what I would do without you all.
Do not worry, my friend, Lilith finally said. We will help you with this. I will not rest until we can find out what is wrong with your foal. I promise you this.
And the first step to that is getting to Manhattan, I said simply. I'm certain that the day ahead will be long and difficult, but if we press on, we should be able to arrive at the city by nightfall.
The others nodded, going about the morning tasks to clean up our sinks. I latched Stargazer onto its harness and stepped out into the morning, ready to face the day. My friends came up beside me and we set off. As we walked, I felt a strength come from within. A strength I had desperately needed to carry on. It came from those who walked with me. Inevitably, my mind turned to Twilight and of her past. Once upon a time, she felt the same strength, the strength of friendship. The war had taken all of that. It had put those six mares through hell and back again. But looking at my own friends, I started to think Twilight was wrong in her last letter to Celestia. Friendship was still very much alive in Equestria. The morning bled into noon with a swiftness none of us expected. The dullness of the equestrian wasteland lay before us in all directions, and it was only thanks to our pipback automaps that we even knew where we were going. We had planned to head through Glyphmark and down to Manhattan. I paused to look behind us, sighing. I knew I couldn't see the city any longer, but my heart still ached for the ponies of Chickercold. I found myself wondering if Danish was okay and how the rest of the MMMMM were holding up. Despite the breakthrough this morning, everyone was still relatively quiet. Patch clung close to Steeljack and Lilith while Violet and Nixies walked beside me in comfortable silence. I decided that maybe a little news would be in order, hoping that there would be some more information on Spark. I flicked on my pipback radio and the smooth tones of Sweetie Belle came running through.
Must be a slow news day, I thought to myself.
Sweetie Belle gave way to Sapphire Shores, who gave way to Velvet Remedy. The music was a nice distraction, at least. Everyone bobbed their heads at the Sapphire Shores song, even Steeljack could be seen slightly moving his head. It was kind of hard to tell in his power armor. As the last of Velvet Remedy's song faded, the liquid tones of DJ Pawn 3 filled our ears. Stallions weren't my thing, but I could still listen to that voice all day long.
And that, kiddies, is our old friend Velvet Remedy. Isn't she just fantastic? I agree 100%. I'm your host, DJ Pawn 3, coming to you from the lovely Manhattan ruins, and it's time for some news. Settlements on the outlying portion of Manhattan are finally rebuilding after the mystery attacks of last week. Central Station has reported extensive damage to its metro station, however. Looks like those tunnels are out of commission for the time being, kiddies. Regardless, if you know anything about what went down out there, please let old DJ Pawn 3 know. Also, tensions are high in the city as the NCR, that's New Canterlot Republic for those of you who have been living under a rock for the last 2 years, have set up shop in a camp outside the city. The NCR has said they are looking to provide assistance to the settlements in need, including food and water. The aforementioned tensions come from the hoity-toity in Tenpony Tower, who feel they don't need the NCR's charity and that they can get by without their help. The NCR has responded, stating that, "We are in the city now and we are not leaving until we've done what we can do to help." Residents of Tenpony Tower say that's a big outload of Brahmin shit and that the NCR only cares about forcing their laws and rules on the ponies of the city. Come on, kiddies, we're all the same, no matter what flag we fly. Can't we all just, you know, what I'm talking about? If we work together, we stick together and we all win. That, my friends, is called fighting the good fight. And with that, I'm out for a while. I got myself a hot date, kiddies. You know, the nut kind. Just kidding.
I blinked. The NCR moving into Manhattan? That seemed sort of strange. I glanced over at Patch.
What do you think about that NCR stuff? I asked.
The mayor shrugged.
Doesn't totally surprise me. When I was down in Philadelphia, Lieutenant Kirby went on more than once about how the NCR wished they could establish a foothold in Manhattan, she said. Sounds like they finally did it.
But aren't the NCR supposed to help every pony? Violet said. I mean, that's a good thing, right?
Not necessarily. The NCR is pretty strict. They want every pony to follow their laws and their rules. And they're not exactly too forgiving in their interpretation of those rules.
Pat replied.
I mean, look at what happened with me. I was discharged for having one less eye.
Still, wouldn't some rules be better than nothing, especially since they'd be provided with food and shelter?
I said. Patch sighed.
What DJ Pond3 failed to mention is that you have to become an NCR citizen to receive handouts like that. They don't just give food out to any pony. And once you're a citizen, you don't get to just stop when you've got the food, she said. Basically, in order to provide assistance, they're annexing pieces of Manhattan. And Ten Pony doesn't want that, I said, realizing what the mayor was saying. You think it has something to do with the Twilight Society?
I'd say it has more to do with Celestia One, Violet interjected. Think about it, the Twilight Society controls that thing with an iron hoof. What group wouldn't want access to a megaspell like that?
I nodded. It certainly seemed reasonable. But what would the NCR do with such power? Why did they want it in the first place? I shook the thoughts away as we passed close enough to Glyphmark to get a good look at the town. They weren't important right now. Finding Spark was. At the very least, everything seemed to be at ease in the zebra-filled town. No pony was running up to us asking for help, and nothing was on fire. It felt like a breeze of fresh air. Not that I minded helping my friends, but it was a nice change to be able to move forward without another obstacle, letting Spark get further away from us. Glyphmark disappeared behind us as we continued down the old concrete road, following our automap and the signs towards Manhattan. Nightfall met us on the final ridge, overlooking the valley the city slumped in. Manhattan looked just like it always had. Dark, dreary, and ominous. We decided to stop at an old abandoned office building for the night, planning on heading into the city and going to Ten Pony Tower in the morning. I stood upon the roof alone while the others made camp, scanning the city for any signs of life. Nothing stirred in the last fading twilight. I glanced up at the black structure that was Ten Pony Tower.
Tomorrow, I thought. Tomorrow I will find out what you were doing here, Spark, and then I will find you.
A flash of light startled me and I fell back to my haunches. In the distance I could see the light circling the city. It coalesced into a grinning face consisting of two mismatched yellow eyes and a crooked smile. The Ezreal face opened its mouth into a cruel laughter echoing across the entire city. I snarled under my breath.
Discord!
Discord, I still don't understand what his deal is, Violet said, taking a sip of water from her canteen. The fire we had managed to cobble together was in its final stages of dying.
I mean, what is he gaining from following us like this?
I don't know, but I don't like it, I said. I've got a bad feeling about him. He is the god of chaos, after all. Too unpredictable.
Still, if he's here in the city, why hasn't he shown himself yet? It seems so unlike him, Steeljack commented.
Patch lay sleeping next to him while Lilith and Nixies were curled up together in the corner. I paused to think at that before moving on. After my sighting of Discord, I wasn't sure that I could get to sleep at all. I sighed.
I'm not sure about that, but I'm sure that he's the one who keeps leaving the memory orbs, I said. He has to be. I just don't get why. What is he trying to show me? It's just more of Twilight's memories, more of Spark.
Maybe he's trying to send you a message, Violet said, yawning.
I don't know. I'm just too tired to even think about it right now, Star. I'm going to bed.
Violet stood and trotted over to our bedroll where she plopped down as unladylike as possible. Within mere seconds, soft snores could be heard from the mare. I glanced back over at Steeljack. We stood, walking out of earshot of the rest of the camp. The night sky was brilliant tonight.
Enough about me. How are you holding up?
I asked quietly. The stallion looked back down at his mare, grimacing.
I just lost my kid star. How do you think I feel? He said.
Steeljack, I said softly.
The stallion shook his head. He frowned.
I wish I could say I wasn't hurt, but I can't, Star, Steeljack said. I want to scream. I want to cry. I want to lash out and get angry. I don't know what's up or down anymore.
Steeljack, I said, placing a hoof on his shoulder. Patch needs you. She needs you to be strong. For her. I understand how you feel. You have every right to be upset, but we need you.
What do I do then, Star? Just laugh and go on like it never happened?
Steeljack said, his eyes wide.
You do exactly what you're doing right now, I said. You open up, you talk to us, talk to Patch. She will understand your feelings better than most. Pain is normal, it's okay to be hurt. But getting angry won't solve the problem.
Steeljack glared at me and then looked away. He paused for a moment, sighing. You're right, Star, he said. I'm sorry, you're right. I'm just glad to have friends like you. Even when I don't know how to deal, you help.
You're going to be fine, Steeljack, I said, pulling the stallion into an embrace. I held him there for several minutes. It was the only thing I could think to do. We don't know if the foal is lost after all.
I guess so, he said, releasing himself from the hug. Do you really think the doctor's a 10-pony will be able to help her?
It's our best shot at getting some ideas to what's actually going on, I said, hanging my head. That much radiation, it wasn't good for any of you, let alone the foal. Had I known, I would have told Patch to stay put.
You couldn't have known about the radiation, Star, Steeljack pointed out.
I sighed, nodding.
When you're right, I said. Still, I wish I could do something else for her.
You've already done far more than you think you know, Steeljack said softly. You got her to open up about it. That's more than I've been able to do.
I think that's because she was worried that you would hate her, I said. She really loves you, you know that, right?
I do, Steeljack replied.
You know that you don't have to do any of this, I said. When we get back to 10-pony, you could always, you know, stay there together.
Steeljack narrowed his gaze at me.
I think we both know the answer to that question, Star, he said. I wouldn't, and neither would Patch. No matter what happens, we're in this till the end.
I know, I said. But just think about it, okay?
Steeljack scoffed.
That we've actually talked about, Star. The decision was easy and Patch feels the same way, he said, grinning.
I rolled my eyes.
It's not that simple, Star. We're in the middle of chasing down a spirit that wants to destroy the world. Do you even realize how ludicrous that sounds?
When you put it like that, it kind of does, yeah, I said, chuckling.
And you and I both know that if Spark wins, it's over for all of us. So do you really expect either of us to just sit on our rumps and let it happen?
Steeljack said fiercely.
Steeljack,
I started to stay as the stallion lifted a hoof, silencing me.
No, listen to me. We're in this for the long haul, no matter what it takes. If Spark wins and I've given up the fight, I die anyways. If I'm going to die, it's going to be for a cause, Star.
Steeljack said.
I owe it to Crystal, and I owe it to Patch.
Crystal?
I asked, cocking my eyebrow. Steeljack nodded.
It's been a long time since I've ever said her name, he said, his blue eyes shimmering with determination.
My eyes widened as I realized who he was talking about. His wife. The mercenary who'd been killed by Red Eye's slavers.
And while I miss her, she died for a cause. She saved so many, and I know what that means. I have a cause now. Because come hell or high water, if my foal is still alive in that mare, I'm fighting to save it. To give her, or him, the future they so rightly deserve.
I slumped to my haunches in front of the stallion.
I never thought of it like that, I said. Thank you for staying. It really means a lot to me.
Any time, Steeljack replied.
I yawned, my mind finally catching up with how tired my body was.
I think then I'm going to sleep,
I said, turning around and starting back to the camp. I stopped for a moment.
For what it's worth, Steeljack, I think you're going to make an excellent father.
The stallion nodded as we silently walked back to our respective loves. Sleep overtook me as easily as I had hoped it would, providing at least a little escape from the world around me. Morning came all too quickly, as it often did. I laid there for several minutes, feeling the warmth of Violet next to me as she wriggled in all of her cuteness. I glanced across the clearing, seeing Steeljack and Patch curled up next to each other. My mind turned to the conversation from the night before, pondering Steeljack's words. Still, I had to wonder where this journey was going to end. Would we all see it through to the end, or would some of us fall along the way? I sent up a silent prayer to Luna, hoping for the former, but secretly knowing that it was likely to be the latter. Spark wasn't going to make things easy for us, I knew this for certain. Just what was she looking for anyways? Was she looking for the jewel that she had become in the memory? Was that why Discord wanted me to see it? So I could recognize what Spark escaped from? We awoke as normal, getting ready silently for our journey into the city. Manhattan loomed ahead of us as we left our shelter. We stepped onto the main road, ready for whatever was coming next.
Well, let's go, I said.
We started forward purposefully and quickly. The streets were filled with debris and a void of life. A large office building that was overturned in the middle of the street blocked our direct path to the monorail line. We turned down to the left, taking an alley back onto the main drag. Within several hours, we arrived at the monorail station. We took our first step up onto the lunar line, trotting down the ancient rail line. I looked up at the end of the line at Ten Pony Tower. I sighed. It was so near, yet so far away. We saw our first signs of life halfway down the rail. Two guard ponies stood vigilant at a substation of the rail line. They flagged us down, motioning for us to halt. They both wore gas masks and combat armor, making it difficult to identify what they were.
"State your business," one of them said.
"We're here to see the Twilight Society," I said. "My name is Radiant Star."
"Access permitted, but you'll need to check your weapons at the door," the other guard said. I nodded.
"What's going on around here?" Violet asked. "Why all the extra security?"
"Things are pretty tense with NCR at the moment. We're taking all the extra precautions that we can," the first guard said. "Now get going. We'll radio ahead that you expected."
"Thank you," I said.
We passed through the guard checkpoint with little issue, although the two ponies did seem to glare at Nixies. I knew that hellhounds weren't exactly common around here, but I hoped they'd be at least accepted. I pushed the sword out of my head as we walked. It took approximately half an hour to reach the front gates of Ten Pony Tower. The guards waved us to enter the station. I unclasped Stargazer from its harness and handed it over to them. We were ushered into the tower proper, and I smiled as a familiar blue unicorn stood waiting for us in the center of the common market.
"Well met, Ministry Mayor," Dusk Blue said.
The unicorn wore a simple black coat with a silver clasp.
"Dusk Blue," I said. "I'm surprised to see you here. I almost expected Life Bloom again with some ominous news about the Twilight Society."
Dusk Blue chuckled.
"Well, that would be a little too cliche, Radiant Star," he said. "But as you well know, things around here are a little crazy lately. To be truthful, I would have been surprised to see you here if I hadn't been listening to the radio broadcasts. You've been busy, Star."
"Yes, well, about that. We have some business to discuss," I said. "In private."
Dusk nodded.
Of course," he said. "Follow me, if you will."
We followed the unicorn over to the elevators where we filed into two separate cars. The elevators stopped on a floor containing a long hallway with several suits. Dusk Blue led us to one of the suits. He sat down on a cushion in the main room of the suit.
"Now then, what do you wish to discuss?"
Dusk Blue said as we sat down. Nixies and Lilith remained in the back of the room. I narrowed my gaze at the unicorn.
"The attacks on the settlements," I said. "You were there, Dusk. You know about Spark. It was her, Dusk. I know it was."
"I had assumed that you would ask about that," Dusk said. "Truth be told, Star, we don't know all that much about the attacks yet. You say it was Spark? You mean the mare that you once told me was in your head?"
"Correct," I said. "Except she's no longer there."
"What do you mean?"
Dusk said.
"I mean that Spark has a body now, a body shared between her and a friend of mine," I said. "She's on her way to the Everfree Forest, but I'm not sure why she attacked these towns first."
"Well, I think the prudent thing to do might to go visit one of these towns and speak to their villagers,"
Dusk replied.
"In fact, if you head to Central Station, another of your friends is there investigating this as well."
"Friend?"
I inquired, cocking an eyebrow. Dusk smiled.
Sunshine Sky is in the field, lending what assistance she can to the ponies in the settlements, he said.
The pink mare? I said.
Dusk nodded.
I see.
Star, you have to understand. Right now things are quite tense with the NCR, the blue unicorn said. You see, they've requested access to Celestia 1.
Patch snorted.
Figures,
she said.
Typical of them, really.
Yes, well, the problem is that the NCR doesn't want to study the Megaspell Chamber to learn. They'll want to use it, judiciously and severely,
Dusk said.
The Twilight Society wants to prevent that. We want to protect ponies, yes. But not by using a Megaspell that can wipe out millions of lives.
Is there anything that we could do to help?
I asked. Dusk narrowed his gaze at me and grinned.
There might, he said. The NCR set up shop just outside of the city at a location they're calling Camp Hope.
My pipback beeped as it picked up the map marker.
The Twilight Society is willing to negotiate a compromise with the NCR, but unfortunately the NCR doesn't want to meet with us directly. They're very ultimatum that way. Perhaps you could meet them?
On one condition, I said immediately.
I motioned to Patch.
I know the Ten Pony Tower has extremely good doctors. My friend here, she needs some assistance and requires the services of a doctor that might know something about pregnancy.
Dusk Blue nodded.
I think that we can agree to that, he said. In fact, if you will meet with the NCR and negotiate a treaty, I will speak with Life Bloom to have him look at your friend.
I looked over at Patch. She smiled brightly.
We'll go then,
I said, returning my gaze to Dusk Blue.
Excellent, the unicorn replied. I will give you some time to collect yourself then. You may use this suit for your needs. Your gear will be brought up to you. I will send an acolyte to bring your friend to the doctors in the morning.
The unicorn stood, bowing to us.
It is a pleasure to see you once more, Radiant Star.
Likewise, I said.
Dusk Blue closed the door and I sighed. Patch laid a hoof on my shoulder, a huge smile on her face.
Thank you, she said. Thank you so much. Patch, I said. I meant what I said before. We will do everything we can to help you.
Lilith stepped forward.
I'm going to stay here with Patch, she proclaimed. The rest of you should go visit the NCR.
Are you sure?
Patch said, looking up at the black mare. Lilith smiled.
We are friends, and I would be remiss if I wasn't there with you when you found out what is wrong,
she said. Steeljack coughed.
Shouldn't I, you know, stay behind too?
The stallion said.
Girl stuff, Steeljack,
Lilith said jokingly.
But seriously, you should go with Star. She might need your help. Trust me, I'll take care of your mare friend.
Steeljack sighed, nodding.
It's decided then, I said.
Lilith will stay behind with Pat and we will visit this Camp Hope. I would also like to visit Central Station. We need to keep our eyes on why Spark was here, what she was looking for, and why she left.
Agreed, Violet said. So when are we leaving?
In the morning, I said. We will leave in the morning. Based on my automap, it should only take about 2 hours to get to Camp Hope, and from there an hour over to Central Station.
The others nodded and I stood to take stock on the suit that Dusk Blue had left us in. It was nice. Much nicer than what we had been accustomed to lately. There was even several real beds. I slumped down into one, sighing as I laid my head back onto the pillow. Violet joined me shortly after and I sighed.
Are we doing the right thing? I said softly, turning my face to my love. Mediating a truce between the Twilight Society and the NCR? I almost feel like it's just another thing pushing me away from Spark.
That might be true, but you and I both know that if it wasn't Dusk Blue who had asked, you wouldn't have accepted,
Violet said.
I guess you have a point there, I said, yawning. I'm going to sleep. Good night, my love.
Violet reached in, giving me a kiss on the cheek.
Love you, sweetie. Sleep tight, she said.
I smiled and turned over, closing my eyes and letting sleep take me. A knock at the door forced my eyes open. I nearly thought it was a dream, waking up in such nice conditions. The bed was nice and soft, and I smelled softly at the warmth of Violet next to me. Another knock came at the door. I groaned, sliding out of the bed. None of the others were up yet. I trudged towards the door, pulling it open. On the other side of the door was a mismatched beast, his yellow eyes piercing through my soul. My eyes widened.
"Discord!"
I shouted. The beast sneered, pulling its lip back and showing teeth. Still, he said nothing. He did nothing but stare at me.
"What do you want? Why are you here?"
The beast lifted a claw, pointing a finger at me. The sneer turned into a cruel grin. Why wasn't he attacking me? What in the world was going on? Discord's mouth opened and he began to laugh. In fact, he cackled madly. The laughter carried through the air around me, surrounding me in its insanity. I closed my eyes, trying to shut it out of my mind. I opened my eyes and groaned. Violet laid on the bed next to me. I blinked.
A dream?
I thought to myself as I shoved myself off the nice and clean bed, taking care to not wake Violet. I shuffled into the main living area, glancing at the door. It was still closed and there was no one knocking at it. It must have been a dream, I had decided. Either that or it was a warning. What was going on here? What was Discord's angle in all of this? Was he trying to drive me insane?
"Star,"
a voice said softly. I looked over, seeing Nixies in the corner.
"Nixies,"
I said.
"You're awake. I figured everyone else was asleep still."
Nixies chuckled.
"I sleep fairly light," he said. "Are you all right?"
"Had a bit of a bad dream, I guess you'd call it," I said. "Ever since we came close to the city, I've been having this nagging feeling that something is wrong. Like something's coming, and I can't quite put my hoof on what it is."
"Dreams are sometimes gateways to messages that our minds are trying to tell us,"
Nixis replied.
"They hold many meanings, sometimes subtle, sometimes more overt. All it takes is for one to listen closely."
"And if your dreams involve a mad deity of chaos?" I asked quietly.
Nixis grinned toothily at me.
"Well, then one might say you're fairly screwed," he said.
I blinked. Did he really just... Nixies chuckled.
"I'm kidding, Star. Too much time spent with Lilith, I suppose."
"Do you miss it?"
I said softly.
"Miss what?"
the hellhound lumbered.
"Your home, you know, Ponyville,"
I said, locking eyes with the canine. He rubbed the back of his head and smiled.
"I do, but I have not been back there for quite some time. I doubt that I am remembered. Hellhounds aren't exactly known for their intelligence, after all,"
he said.
"But you're smart," I said.
Nixies chuckled again.
"I am educated, if that's what you mean. I don't know why, but I always like to spend time in Ponyville's old town hall when we first arrived there. The others wanted little to do with the place, and there was never anything there important enough for the raiders who had desecrated the town prior to our occupation,"
he explained.
"I found so many books. It wasn't until a passing caravan was actually willing to trade with us that I started to really learn Equish. It was fascinating. There was so much knowledge locked away. Things we can really use to make this world a better place."
"And Ponyville? How did you end up becoming the mayor there?"
I asked as I sat down next to him.
"I was the only one willing to go out and talk to the caravans, so I just kind of fell into it. The others respected me for my ability to think and plan,"
Nixis replied.
"I suppose I do miss it after all. Simpler days."
I nodded, staying silent. I was reminded of the first days after Violet and I came to Fort Knowledge. Life was much simpler back then. We were going to help ponies who needed it, care for others. And then, Twilight had happened. Spark happened. Life had spiraled out of control much quicker than I could have ever imagined. A knock at the door interrupted my thoughts. I stood wearily, the events of the dream still fresh in the forefront of my mind. I trotted over to the door and pulled it open. A white unicorn in a black cloak was standing on the other side. He smiled briefly as our eyes met. "Good morning," he said. "My name is Winter. I was asked by Dusk Blue to come here concerning a man named Patch." I breathed a sigh of relief, much to his surprise.
"Let me get her up," I said. "Another one of our friends is staying behind with her. I trust it won't be an issue."
"Not at all," Winter said. "She can accompany us to see the doctors." I nodded, closing the door and walking back into the bedroom area of the suit. Patch was up, looking a little groggy and out of sorts.
"Patch," I said, "someone is here to take you to the doctor. Are you ready?"
The man nodded as she walked over and prodded Lilith awake. I glanced at the foot of our bed, noticing that our weapons and bags had been delivered. Patch and Lilith trotted out into the living room, followed by the others. The green mare hugged Steeljack and whispered quietly to him before heading for the door. Winter stood just beyond, a soft smile on his face.
I'll see you guys later," Patch said.
"Don't worry, Patch," Violet said. "Everything's going to be fine. You can do this."
Thank you all,"
the other mare replied. Lilith smiled as she followed Patch into the hallway, closing the door behind her.
"All right," I said. "Let's get ready and get going here. The faster we get done at Camp Hope, the faster we can get down to business of finding out more about Spark."
The others nodded their assent, beginning the routine of gearing up for the trip. We made our way out of the suit and down to the main hall, where Dusk Blue waited patiently for us. He smiled brightly as we came up to him.
"Well, you're off then," he said.
"Yes, we will go to this Camp Hope and speak with the NCR. I'm sure that we will be able to work something out," I said.
"I certainly hope so. Then we can get all this extra security out of the way and be done with this craziness. You have no idea how hard it has been lately,"
Dusk replied.
"I can imagine," I said.
"Give my regards to Sunshine if you see her," the unicorn said, winking.
My eyes narrowed.
"Oh, I'm well aware that you plan to visit Central Station while you are out, and that is fine. I would not accept you to put your own plans on hold after all, Star. Be careful out there."
"Thanks,"
I uttered. Did the Twilight Society know everything we did? Were they spying on us? I tried to shrug off the feeling of being watched and moved past Dusk Blue, saying nothing else. We stepped out of Ten Pony Tower and back onto the monorail line. I glanced at my pip buck. Camp Hope was on the eastern edge of the city, not terribly far from here. As we walked, I noticed more signs of life around the city. An office building with a pony or two scavenging there, a trading caravan there. Granted, they all gave us a bit of a wide berth as we passed. An alicorn, hellhound, unicorn, and an earth pony. I guessed that we looked pretty imposing to them. Within the hour, we were at the edge of the city. I grimaced when I saw the tents. Lined up in several rows, surrounded by makeshift chicken wire fences, was Camp Hope. I could see ponies milling about inside the wire. Some standing guard, some training. There were even some doing morning rounds around the camp. This screamed of war to me, for some reason. I couldn't shake that feeling as we made our way closer. Outside of the camp was a large tent that stood on its own. In front of it was a line of ponies waiting to receive food and water. Many of them were hurt or malnourished, looking like they were at the end of their rope. A guard stopped us at the main gate. One of them, an earth pony mare, motioned at us. A combat shotgun hung loosely off her battle saddle.
"Halt! State your business here," she said.
"My name is Radiant Star," I said. "We seek an audience with your commanding officer."
"For what purpose?" the mayor asked.
"We've been sent to negotiate on behalf of the Twilight Society," I said.
The mayor scoffed.
"Fuck off, we don't need none of the Twilight Society here," she said.
I grimaced.
"We're not with the Society," I said. "I don't know if you listen to the radio, but I'm the ministry mayor. All I care about is making sure that everyone works together."
"Oh, really? You're the one on the radio, huh?"
the mayor said. Another guard came up and tapped her on the shoulder. He whispered in her ear, glaring at me while he did. The mare's eyes widened and she looked up.
"Seriously? Fuck!"
She glanced back at us.
"All right, look, you can go in. Captain is expecting you in his tent. Don't cause any trouble or else.
Thank you, I said, smiling. Where may we find this officer?
The mayor pointed at the rear of the enclosure, indicating the superior officer's tent. She looked pretty pissed off that she had to let us in. The officer's tent was the largest one there, besides the operations tent that we passed on the way there. The ponies working there looked up from their terminals, staring at us intensely. It felt unnerving. I stepped into the officer's tent after a thorough pat-down from the guards as the others hung around outside. The tent was spacious, but there wasn't much to it. It was lightly furnished, with a plain wooden desk in the middle of the space. A chair was turned away from it, where a pony sat.
Hello? I said. My name is...
Radiant Star, the voice from behind the chair said.
My eyes widened. I knew that voice. The chair spun about, revealing a familiar unicorn stallion. He wore a smug grin on his face. I was wondering when they would send you.
Lieutenant Kirby?
I said. Kirby grinned widely, tapping the beret on his forehead with a forehoof.
That's Captain Kirby now, he said. It's been a while since we last saw each other, Ministry Mayor.
Indeed, I said. I guess you know why I'm here, then.
You want to discuss negotiations between the NCR and the Twilight Society, Kirby said flatly.
He stood, turning away from me.
Tell me, Radiant Star, how is my former security officer?
I blinked. All right, Patch. I hesitated for a moment. Kirby sighed.
She's fine, I said finally.
My voice was shaky. Kirby nodded.
I can hear the fear in your voice, you know. I expected as much. I do miss her quite a lot, actually, Kirby said. I suspect that's why you're here now. The Twilight Society offers quite a bit, don't they?
You would be right, I said. About Patch, that is. She's back at Ten Pony Tower now, being seen by their best doctors. It was our exchange for me being here.
What's wrong with her? Kirby asked.
My eyes shifted back and forth, seeking an answer.
Mare problems.
Kirby glanced at me, a perplexed expression on his face. He nodded, hanging his head.
Well, let us hope it is worth it, Kirby replied uncertainly. I will tell you the same thing that I told those insufferable Twilight Society ambassadors. We do not want to use that damn weapon. We want to study it and help keep it secure. It would be very bad for all of us if it were to be used by the wrong hoofs.
They didn't believe you, I take it,
I said, sitting back onto my haunches in front of the desk. Kirby turned around, mildly surprised at my reaction.
No, they didn't. They think we want to use it. If that were my goal, I'd have stormed Ten Pony long ago, the unicorn said. It isn't like we don't have the numbers to do so. And while it would certainly be bloody, we'd come out victorious. We always do. But that doesn't help the wasteland.
He sat back down at his desk, smiling.
Violence does not help any pony, I said. All it does is beget more violence.
Kirby chuckled.
You know you're different now. Wiser, I think. It really has been a long time, he said.
I turned my head away at the compliment. I certainly didn't feel wiser.
So what now? I asked.
Well, now we have to convince the Twilight Society to agree to allow us access to Celestia One for the purposes of studying the chambers, Kirby said.
And what will you do with that information? I said.
Kirby chuckled.
I knew you'd ask that, he said, trailing off.
I scowled.
You're not going to tell me, are you? I asked flatly.
Sorry, classified. I'm not allowed to release any information to any pony. Star, my ass would be in the sling over something like that. Kirby said. You understand?
No, I really don't, but whatever. Look, I'd be willing to talk to Dusk Blue about all of this, but I need some information too, I said, my voice getting edgier.
Down to business, I see, Kirby said. All right, honestly, all I'm looking for is one visit. A few hours' time with the chamber and some assistance from the society in understanding how it works. In return, we'll provide security and also continue to assist the refugees out here. No citizenship required.
That's actually rather generous, I said surprised. I will talk to Dusk Blue and offer your terms. Now, as for what I need, the ponies you're helping out here, their villages were attacked recently by an alicorn.
Yes, very mysterious it is, Kirby said. The very same alicorn passed over Camp Hope as well. We weren't quite sure what was going on until we saw her attacking the settlements. We tried to do what we could to help those in need.
Do you know anything about the alicorns that caused the attacks? I asked.
Kirby raised an eyebrow. No, I truly don't. I wish I could help you, Star, but unfortunately I don't know much about it other than that it put a lot of ponies without homes. He said. The stallion stood, motioning to the tent entrance. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some meetings to attend to.
Of course, I said, standing. Kirby smiled.
It was good to see you again, he said. Give my regards to Patch, please.
I will, and thank you, I said.
Kirby moved to leave, stopping next to me. He glanced up at me and whispered under his breath. Just watch yourself around the Twilight Society, Star. Sometimes the best intentions lead to the worst actions. They may know more than you think about this mystery alicorn of yours, he said. I nodded mutely as the unicorn left the tent, leaving me alone with my thoughts. Did the Twilight Society really know more about Sparks than they were letting on? If so, why would Dusk Blue lie to me? Or did he not know either because he wasn't told? A cough drew me out of my thoughts. I looked up to see Violet standing in the entrance of the tent, waiting for me.
Hey, she said. Hey,
I replied.
Was it Kirby I saw?
My laugh said. I nodded.
Yeah, he's apparently in charge of the operation here, I said.
And what did he say? Violet asked as we made our way out to where Steeljack and Nixies waited. As we walked, I explained about the NCR's proposition and what they wanted with Celestia 1. I wasn't quite sure what to do with the information. Kirby's warning about the Twilight Society worried me. What weren't they telling me that I needed to know? Was I wrong to trust them? Or was there something else going that I was just another pawn of?